Welcome. I'm your host, Dylan Bennion, and you're listening to the Cognition & Co. podcast, Psychology in South Africa. On today's episode, we'll be talking to Kaylee Jorgensen about social media and psychology students. We'll look at both the advantages and disadvantages of social media, as well as giving you the tips you need to manage your online presence. We'll also speak to Nina Striglia about her experience on social media, having worked in the modeling industry before becoming a psychometrist. Hi, Kaylee. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dylan. Thanks so much for having me.
It's only a pleasure. Well, Kaylee, why don't you tell us a little bit about what got you into psychology?
Yeah, so I think it was... I don't actually know the specifics in terms of what it was exactly that got me into psychology. I think it was a lot of different things. But one of the main reasons that, you know, I found myself going into psychology was just to help people. I think I've always been a person that I've wanted to help people. And it almost just kind of fell in my lap. I started doing biokinetics at Tux, and then I hated that and changed to psychology. So I kind of did this whole loop, but I always think if I didn't do the biokinetics, I would not have realized that I wanted to do psychology. So I think everything you do in life literally points you in a direction. And I was just really lucky that a lot of different things pointed me in the direction of psychology.
Excellent. Excellent. Tell me, Kaylee, what are you up to at the moment? I know that you're quite active. I always see you posting stuff on social media, on the different like four ways groups.
I do love my four ways group.
What are you busy with now, especially considering like the lockdown and everything?
So one of my big passions is obviously I love, you know, mental health, because I do feel, you know, mental health is such a stigmatized area. But the thing is, not everyone has a mental illness, but everybody has mental health. So what I really, really am, you know, kind of focusing on at the moment is just creating mental health and making that accessible for everybody. Because, you know, everybody is on social media, whether you like it or not. If you only, the only account you've got is Netflix, that's still a social networking sort of online site. So everybody is on social media and everybody is online at some point. And for me, you know, I'm one of those people where I'm not, you're not going to hear me ever say, don't go on social media like that. You can't have social media because it's so bad. You know, I think with everything in life, you have to understand the positives and the negatives in order to actually really use it and get and maximize, you know, the benefits. So what I'm trying to do at the moment is just create mental health more accessible. So I'm working on a whole bunch of different apps at the moment, which is really exciting, because where I'm trying to get to is so that people in the middle of nowhere or people in the biggest populated town can still access mental health services. And for me, that is one of the biggest things, because like I said just now, you know, everybody has mental health, not necessarily a mental illness. I mean, even just like one of the stats, I think it's 1 in 3 South Africans suffer from a mental illness. So it's so prevalent. But yeah, I think, you know, just more than anything, what I'm doing right now is just trying to, you know, just create awareness for mental health.
Very, very cool. Yeah, I mean, obviously, social media, it's in everyone's pockets. You know, if you've got a phone, you probably have some sort of social media, social networking app or, you know, device, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever you're using. Like you said, even Netflix is technically social media. And what a clever way to get into various communities and expand your reach.
And I think, you know, one of the things that most people forget, so I do a lot of talks with schools and learners and parents, you know, just focusing on children, tweens and teens, and using social media in the right way. And also you're just navigating this online world we live in, because we live in a community of comparison. I mean, I go on Facebook and I'm like, oh my gosh, my friend is doing this. Oh, I've got such bad FOMO. And FOMO is a thing. And, you know, you've got social media anxiety disorder, you've got digital self-harm. So there's a lot of things that are happening on social media and the online world, you know, social networking sites, all of it that relate directly back to psychology. And whether it's creating awareness or just using it as a support tool, I mean, I'm sure you've seen, but just with the lockdown, how tele mental health and online resources for mental health and all of that have become so big. It's amazing, because it also just shows us the accessibility behind everything. You know, it's with a click of a button, it's literally you've got access.
Yeah. Yeah, I think social media can be such an incredible tool. Like we were talking about earlier, both you and I have both created our platforms entirely on social media. I wouldn't have this podcast right now if it hadn't have been for social media. I mean, this podcast itself is social media.
No, exactly. And I mean, whenever I do talks at high schools, I say to them, I'm like, guys, I'm not here to say don't use it. I'm here to say use it the right way. Because at the end of the day, you know, okay, without social media, I probably wouldn't have a business. But more than that, you know, social media provides you the ability to create something amazing. Just the app that I use, FaceApp. So we developed this, you know, and the guys who started it were 16 at the time. So, you know, it's all about actually using what you've got to create something amazing. And I think in order to do that, we do unfortunately have to understand the negatives and understand everything about it. And as, you know, psychology students and people wanting to be psychologists or registered counselors or, you know, anything in the mental health field, you have to understand social media because it's a big part of where the world is going.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's exactly what I wanted to speak to you today about, actually, was the way that psychology students present themselves over social media, especially with my page, Cognition & Co. You know, I follow a lot of students that are studying psychology, which means that I have direct access to their feeds, basically. If they're following me and I follow them back, I see exactly what they post. And I'm not saying what I'm seeing is worrying, but there are potential risks that we need to look out for, you know, as psychology students, because if you've got it in your profile that you want to become a psychologist or you're an aspiring psychologist, technically what you're doing is you're representing psychology as a profession as a whole. So it is something that needs to be addressed, I think.
No, definitely. And I think what people forget is, yes, social media is accessible. But the other thing is social media, you have 24-hour access. You've got an audience that is literally, it's not a specific sized audience. It's unreachable. I mean, you could reach tens of thousands of millions of people. And like, for example, I mean, social media has been a huge positive and a huge benefit in my business because it's allowed me to create my business. And I've used social media a very different way to the way some people use it, in that I create resources and I promote my business through resources and through access to help. And that's where social media has allowed me to shape my business, but my brand more specifically. And I think as students and even teenagers, you know, when you're figuring out where you want to work and now you say, cool, I want to be a psychologist one day, your social media has to align to that. Because the problem is, you know, what is a future client going to search when they type in your name on Google? What is going to come up? And at the end of the day, you know, social media is your brand. And behind that, you are your brand, regardless if, I mean, you know, for example, like Cognition & Co. If you search Cognition & Co., I'm pretty sure Dylan is going to come up.
Probably.
And that's the thing. Yeah. So that's the thing. You know, you are your business, but you are your brand more than that. And that's, you know, social media creates that.
Yeah. So I've been doing a little bit of reading over the last couple of days just to prepare for this talk. And, you know, I found an incredible paper, which I'll post in the description below for any students that are interested. It's called Friends and Foes. In there, this woman, she's referenced a whole bunch of authors, some authors, McKenzie and Fawn in 2011. They suggested that psychology trainees should avoid posting information on social media due to the potential risk of their perceived professionalism, which I tend to agree with. If you are posting very personal stories or photographs onto your social media, one of the downfalls of social media is the permanence of social media. Once that's out there, it's out there forever. And, you know, sometimes we see issues like people's social media statuses on Facebook going viral and getting them into a lot of trouble. I know there were some issues a couple of years ago with a woman from Durban that, you know, made a remark.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can have detrimental effects on her personal life, on anyone's personal life. So I think that's, I mean, they, we can talk forever about the benefits of social media, from branding to exposure, how easy, you know, in this paper as well, I saw an incredible little section there about self-disclosure.
And it was written about, it was in 2009 by Cohen Koo. Says self-disclosure via blogging can lead to increased subjective well-being by the people that are reading that stuff. So, you know, if somebody is experiencing stigma due to their mental health, but they don't have to like technically come out with this mental disorder, they can read about it and share, you know, online, it can be so beneficial. But at the on the other side, like if it's bringing disrepair to your professional image, yeah, it can be quite detrimental. So there are definitely dangers about social media.
No, 100%. And I think, you know, I've structured a lot of my presentations around donuts, and it's weird, but the thing is, you know, I can have as many donuts as I want. I really can. I can order from Krispy Kreme, or I could make donuts, whatever. You know, no one's standing there telling me how many donuts I can or cannot have. But I promise you, after a couple of donuts, I might feel really sick. And it's the same with social media. You know, we've got to understand the negatives. And we've got to know that, okay, after one or two or three or four or five donuts, I might feel sick. It's still okay to have a donut, though. We've just got to know the boundaries. And I think that's where it comes really, really important in terms of with social media and being a professional. You've got to understand and you've got to be able to maximize the positives of social media. But in order to do that, you've got to understand the negatives and after how many donuts is it not okay. And in terms of that, you know, social media, it creates accessibility between not only one type of community, but between different communities. You know, you've got able-bodied people, you've got the deaf community, you've got hearing, you've got, you know, there's so much, and it links all the different communities together. And also the world, you know, there's no boundaries anymore. There's no borders. It's across borders. But that also poses a risk of what we need to remember and what we need to understand in terms of boundaries. Because as a professional, you can't have personal mixing with business. Yeah. You know, just from a psychology ethical point of view, you have to have boundaries and you have to be ethical with that as well. So, you know, it comes again down to what you post on your Facebook page or on your TikTok page or Instagram or anything like that. It's going to directly represent you. And we do have to have those boundaries. And, you know, you can have a business profile page and a personal profile page, but don't allow those to mix. You know, and for one example, I mean, I get people trying to friend me on Facebook, and I've said, no, Facebook is for my friends and for the people I know. LinkedIn, that's another story. You know, LinkedIn is open. LinkedIn does business. Yeah. Instagram, again, you know, I've got my business and then I've got my personal, and I don't like to mix the two. I do obviously share stuff from my business onto my personal page, but I'm not going to share stuff from my personal page onto my business page.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I mean, the same thing. And it doesn't mean that there isn't crossover sometimes. For example, like I know you, Kaylee, how our friendship started was strictly professional. I spoke to SADAG. SADAG gave me the number of somebody to speak to who could talk at one of my events. I met you, sent you an email, said, hey, if you're interested in doing this, you said yes, you came on board. And slowly but surely we've moved over from more of a professional environment to, you know, we're friends outside of this as well.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But I think what happens is if you're an undergrad or honors student, you'll start to learn these things as you get through there. But one of the ethical dilemmas that come up all the time is multiple relationships. You know, you'll learn about this from a counseling perspective. And social media gives you the opportunity to now practice those things without actually carrying the registration behind that. So like you said, now with the boundaries and the boundaries becoming blurred, there's a lot of like enmeshment that happens there as well. You know, you need to remember that, you know, you're probably carrying a couple of titles as a student now, as it is student, family member, like friend, you might be a brother or sister, you're a daughter or a son, you know, but you also might be carrying the thing of like a student psychologist or aspiring psychologist or, you know, something like that. And that's fine. There can be some enmeshment about that. But when you start to move forward in your professional career, there needs to be some boundaries there because you're only going to cause havoc for yourself.
No, definitely. And I think what's also really important is to remember that what you post online, it stays there forever. You know, at the end of the day, and I'm sure if not already, that when you go for master's interviews, they're going to look at your social media.
100%.
And you know, what are you displaying online? Because at the end of the day, you've also got to align with the HBCSA. Because at the end of the day, if you're a psychologist or a registered counselor or anything like that, you know, you need to be registered with the HPCSA. So you've got to align with those core values at the same time. And just like it's on there forever, you know, there's the cloud. And if I post a picture tomorrow, you know, in 10 years' time when I want to delete it, I might have deleted it, but it's still there somewhere.
Yeah.
I always use this topic of how quick is it to search for something? And if I can find something in 30 seconds, you know, what can a predator or offender find in half an hour? But then what are they going to use that for? So, I mean, I know other registered counselors whose identities have been stolen. And that becomes, it's a huge problem because then you're trying to, you know, save your career on the one side, but also your personal life. And I think what is really important if, you know, for any student that's listening to this, just remember that what you post, you know, you can't necessarily always delete it. And do yourself a favor, do a Google reverse image search. You know, it's basically where you search, you put your picture and you search your picture and then everything that relates to your picture comes up. And it's an awesome way of just figuring out, okay, wait, instead of just only looking at it from my name's point of view, but looking at it from my picture.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's all sorts of little different tricks. But I think what we also do need to remember is besides the fact that we want to be psychologists, we want to be counselors, we want to work in the mental health field, we've also got to remember about our future clients. Because I can guarantee you now they're going to type into Google and just, you know, check you out. I mean, I, for example, won't go and see anybody if they don't have a Facebook page. But that's just me. And so I'm not really fussed with websites. I'm sure a lot of people are. But then you've got a lot of people who aren't fussed with websites and they're fussed with Facebook pages. So regardless of what you're putting on your website, it's got to be linked to your Facebook page.
Yeah.
And it's got to be linked to who you are and what your brand is. You know, and what people can Google and what people can find, sometimes it's scary.
100%. I know that before I go see a psychologist, I Google them. I need to make sure.
100%.
And I take it one step above, actually. I go into the HPCSA's website and I go to the registered professional section and I actually check that their name is on that, you know, to make sure that they are, in fact, registered with the HPCSA. But yeah, I will Google to see what comes up. And I will also check that they are proper registered mental health professionals.
No, exactly. And I think the other point is, you know, I was on Facebook the other day just scrolling through and I saw somebody asking for a referral for a psychologist because their psychologist has now started being friends with their friends. And that's a huge ethical violation.
Yeah.
Regardless of if it's Facebook friends or, you know, face-to-face friends, in this day and age, it's the same thing. And we've also got to remember, you know, just taking it back in terms of students, even undergrad students, you know, what you're posting now is important because it also defines who you are, but it also defines your future career. Mm. You know, we say you can't erase things, but more than that, you've got to just be aware of the person that you're portraying. And I think if students could use just one, like almost like a quick remembrance saying, if I'm a client, will I go to this person if I saw this on Google or Instagram or TikTok? And the thing that, you know, you can say, okay, but I'm only going to post it on TikTok. I've seen TikTok videos on Facebook and I've seen TikTok videos on Instagram. So it's not just within one application. It's across different platforms.
I think what happens as well to a lot of students is that they start off with their personal accounts and they, you know, they, oh no, this is all private. You know, no one's going to see this. And then, you know, slowly but surely they get further up in psych and, you know, that those posts get pushed further and further and further down. They think, oh, I'm not going to worry about that. But I now want to turn this into like my business page. It already has 10,000 followers. So great. I already have 10,000 potential clients. That is an ethical like dilemma in itself. But at the same time, you then switch off that privacy and then all of a sudden, any random person that is looking for you now has public access to your account. And as somebody that wants to be a professional in the psychology environment, one of the most ethical environments that there is, it's something that needs to be taken into account.
No, exactly. And it's, you know, it goes back to that. I remember we got taught this in primary school and it's brilliant. I literally use it in all my talks. But, you know, it goes back to that activity of pushing all the toothpaste out of the the tube. And saying, okay, well, now put it back in. You know, you can't. You know, if you get really clever, yes, of course you can, but you can't. You know, in order to stick in line with activity, you can't do it. And it's important to remember that when it comes to social media, because it's like the toothpaste. You can't put it back in. And I think what's so important for, you know, students, interns, you know, people just wanting to be in the mental health field, if they can remember to think before they post, and not just in terms of thinking, yes, we all have to think, but literally think. So the T is for, is it true? That, now I've got to remember to get like the spelling correct here, but in case.
We got H next.
Okay, cool. So, you know, you've got to remember, is it honest? Is it inspiring? Because if it's not inspiring, well, then why are you posting it? Because it's not going anywhere. N, you know, is it necessary? And then K, is it kind? So it's really important to think about that before any post you put on, whether it's on your business or your personal, because, you know, even on my business page, often it's like, now I've just done a webinar and I am, all the money that I made is going to buy food parcels for people in need, because I've really noticed that there is, you know, during this lockdown, people are struggling.
Yeah.
And a lot of the comments I got were discriminating against different races, and it was really ugly. And I was lucky in the fact that I could delete those comments, because I was like, I don't want those comments on my page, because that page directly represents me. I don't even know those people commenting. And I think that's also where the potential danger in social media comes. You know, you've also got to be constantly active and aware of what's happening on your page. And like with these posts, it was, you know, constantly getting these comments. And I was like, that's not the point. You know, why are you commenting this? So luckily I can delete it or report it, or, you know, using those safety features and those safety functions. But at the same time, it's remembering there are different people out there. And we've got to be aware of that. But more than that, we've got to use the safety and security and privacy settings that are available. They're there for a reason at the end of the day. With anything in life, there's going to be multiple relationships. But how you handle it and how you focus on making this ethical is what is important. And I think if students can just think about what they're posting online now, because that's going to be directly related to what career they're going to have. And the same goes for applying for masters as applying for a job. You know, they're going to check your social media profile, and they probably have the best hackers as well. So, you know, you hide a profile, you delete a page, not necessarily deleted.
Well, I mean, I know that for a fact, because, you know, now I've sent a couple of my master's applications off this year, and I can see on my LinkedIn, you know, when it tells you like, oh, somebody's
viewed
my account, it's like, this person is from, you know, UWC, or somebody from Wits University has viewed your account. So I know that they're checking up on those sort of things. So like, I'm so glad that my social media is in order. You know, I don't have anything that is too embarrassing or something I couldn't explain. You know, yes, I know, like when I was 21, you know, like there's photos that I might, you know, I had long hair and piercings in my face and stuff. Like, maybe I don't want those to come up, but I can also explain those things now, you know, reasonably, and they're not career damaging things.
And also, I think one thing that is really important is, you know, I'm not saying don't use social media in a personal perspective, because, well, why not use social media? I mean, it's there for a good reason, but we've just got to think clearly. And yeah, there are dangers left, right, and center. But we've just, you know, like the donut situation, you've got to, you know, you've got to have experience. You know that 10 donuts is going to make you feel ill, so only have two. But, you know, and with that, go and have fun and live your life. But also, you know, one thing that for me is really, really important, and I've grown up with my parents just saying it, is remember who you are. But more than that, remember who you want other people to know who you are. So whatever your actions that you have, they're going to be a direct representation of what people remember on you. And goes the same for social media. Your actions on social media is a direct representation of who you are. And regardless of if you're going to go into the mental health field or not, it's a really important lesson and a really important aspect just to remember. And I think, you know, whatever your path takes you and wherever you go, the most important thing is just being safe as well.
I want to just expand on what you said there about like be who you are. But have you ever tried to take a photograph when somebody says like, oh, look how big the moon is. And then you go take a photograph of it. Like you look at the moon outside and you're like, wow, it's amazing. Like it's so huge. You take a photograph. It's this tiny little speck, you know? And like from what I want to say there is like be in the moment more than the social media moment, you know? Like if you're at a concert, don't sit videoing behind your screen the whole time so that you can share it on social media to say that you're at the concert. Be in that moment and enjoy that moment and experience that moment.
Exactly. And
some things that don't need to be on social media.
No, 100%. And I mean, you know, in all of my presentations, I go through, you know, the effects of social media, the behavior, the sleep, all of that. And one of the things that sticks true is don't let social media change, you know, your appetite. And also don't let social media butcher reality, because there's Instagram ready accounts and there's these accounts that are so amazing. But then there's also that, you know, community of comparison, like we were talking about earlier. And I think if, you know, one thing out of everything is don't let social media change the way you think about yourself. And, you know, if you want to climb a mountain because you can do it. If you want to take a photo at the top of the mountain, that's amazing. But don't make that the reason you're climbing the mountain.
Mm. Climb the mountain so you can see the world, not so the world can see you.
I love that. Yeah.
Kaylee, I've come up with a couple of tips from this paper, which I'll be sharing over here as well. Just as like what social or what students can do, you know, while they think about their social media. So I'll read out the tip and you tell me a little bit about your perspective on how each of them kind of works. So think about what you're about to share. That one I think is quite plain and simple, right? And
you've given
analogy there.
Yeah. Also, if I can just add on that one, you know, just in terms of sharing, it's also the different articles. And I often say, you know, if you're going to share posts that other people have written, you know, you've got to also make sure that those align with who you are. Mm. Even if you think it's funny, you may think it's funny, but it still may not be appropriate to share.
The next one, number two, is think about who will see what you're about to share.
Exactly. And I think that's where the privacy settings come in. You know, you can make it private or you can make it public. But the moment that you change your account to public, anything you've marked as private automatically goes to public. And what's another thing that is really important to remember is that when you open up an Instagram account or when you open up a Facebook account or anything like that, everything is automatically public. So you've got to then now go and physically change those settings to private. They're not private to start with.
That's very, very interesting. Think about how this post will be perceived by the people that are seeing it.
And I think that goes back to, you know, looking through somebody else's glasses.
Yeah, it's good practice for psychology students as well to say, oh, I'm about to post this thing on Fees Must Fall and I have like a very like anti-Fees Must Fall. There's a lot of people that have very pro-Fees Must Fall perspectives. Like sit with it for a little bit and think about these things. It's going to be your job to see other people's perspectives one day. Why not practice it now while you're practicing these other psychosocial tasks?
Exactly.
Number four, we've also spoken about, consider the permanence of the information that's out there.
Yeah.
We know that once you post something, it becomes part of that digital cloud out there and getting something back is not easy. One of the other things was obviously privacy settings, and we spoke about those already. Like, you know, the fact that our privacy settings don't always stay the same. You know, you might at some point decide that you want to change that so that you can launch your personal profile as a public one. And that leads to the next one. Should I have separate accounts, one personal, one private?
100%. And also what's something that, you know, doesn't necessarily relate to social media, but definitely online, with regards to cell phones, you know, I've got a business cell phone and a personal cell phone. And what is really important is because the profile picture you're going to have on WhatsApp for your personal is not necessarily the one you're going to have for your business. So you've got to implement those boundaries from the get-go.
Remember as well, I think the next tip that I had here was remember that if you are studying psychology and you've made some sort of reference to psychology, you are now representing psychology as a profession in all spheres. So I think that's something to take into account as well.
Also, you've got to align yourself, you know, as a future psychologist, counselor, you know, anything, if you're going to be registered one day, hopefully with the HBCSA.
And then finally, what is the overarching brand that you are trying to create here? The brand is yourself.
Exactly. And I think, you know, you've also got to find out what your niche is. So like you've done, you know, you've figured out your niche. I've figured out my niche. And the thing that you've got to do on social media is create your brand to create your niche, but be really loyal to that niche as well. And be really ethical, you know, because social media does, it gives a voice to matters that count. So you've got to use social media in the right way, but you've also got to, you know what is that overarching brand that you're looking for?
Sure. I think a lot of students kind of play into the fact that like, yes, I want to be a psychologist. That sounds so, so amazing. But then they don't do the research behind it.
Sure. And I think what also, you know, that's a really important point to touch on. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think what students also need to remember is with social media, you know, it almost creates this transparent wall that, you know, in many years ago when people weren't using social media as much as we are today, there was a lot that you could close the door to, but you can't do that now because it is so transparent. So, you know, if you do something on one Facebook page, it's going to directly like follow through to another Facebook page. So that transparency is really, really clear with social media today.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. No, thank you very much for chatting to us about all of this. And I think hopefully this has given the students and the individuals that are listening to it just a little bit of perspective and a little bit of something to think about going forward in terms of their social media.
No, definitely. And thanks so much for having me. And I mean, if any students out there, you know, want to see in terms of how they can structure their Facebook or their Instagram, you know, if they need or have any questions, they're more than welcome to reach out and to ask. You know as well as me, you know, you've done really awesome on your social media page. So I think, yeah, if anybody's out there and they need help, you know, we're here to help.
Sure. I'll post all of Kaylee's links to her professional Instagram pages and LinkedIn pages, but we'll keep our private ones to ourselves. Thank you very much. All right, Kaylee, thank you so much for coming on this one. And I wish you all the best going forward with this lockdown.
Thanks so much, Joel. And thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It was lots of fun.
Next up, we have Nina Striglia. She's a newly registered psychometrist for independent practice. And I invited her onto the podcast today to chat about her experience navigating social media. Nina, previously you were actually a model working in the modeling industry. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So thanks for having me on today, Dylan.
It's only a
pleasure.
And
thank you. Thanks for everything you're doing for psychology in South Africa.
You're too kind.
Yay. And thanks for having me on today to chat a bit about, you know, my experiences thus far. Yes, I was a sign model for 3-4 years with an agency in Cape Town. And this was mainly during my undergrad. So I was luckily, you know, enough, I was studying through UNISA at the time. So I decided to make quite a bold move and relocate to Cape Town. And during my time there, I'd signed with an agency and I started working for them. Modeling for me has always been a bit of a side hustle. It wasn't necessarily my main trajectory. This isn't something I saw myself doing 20 years down the line. So it's always been psych. It's always been psychology. What initially got me interested in psychology is I was very privileged in a sense to have been able to attend kind of regular therapy throughout my life. Just if I was going through any kind of adjustment period, I was lucky enough to attend therapy. And so that kind of definitely exposed me to the world of psychology. And at about 12 years old, I still remember going to my own psychologist and handing her a little interview template because we were given a project at school to chat to someone in our future career. Mm. And so there I went to my psychologist at 12 years old. I already knew, and it stuck since then. So I registered for my undergrad with UNISA. And then in about my second or third year, I moved to Cape Town to kind of model part-time. And yeah, that was successful. It was quite a hectic world to be immersed into. I definitely learned a lot. I think I learned to develop a very thick skin and take criticism quite easily. You hear the word no a lot, you get rejected quite a lot. And so I think that it built the necessary skills I needed to be in psychology, because in this field, we also hear no a lot.
That's very
especially
true.
When applying for masters, you know, that's something you're definitely probably going to deal with unless you are the exception to the rule.
Because you applied for masters last year as well, right?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I interviewed and they actually did ask me, you know, what's this? I see you moved to Cape Town for modeling. Tell us more about it. And I did. I had to explain that, you know, it was a big part of my life, not necessarily the defining factor of my life, but it was definitely a fun experience for me. And basically how the industry works, or how it used to work, is you would attend castings, which kind of worked as your audition, I suppose, where you got a chance to meet the client. And they would take kind of a few snaps of you and then introduce themselves to you. And then you would hear in a few days' time whether you had got the job or not. And castings work on a weird kind of a schedule. You'll be notified, say, 2 days before a casting that you need to be there at this time and this place. And I couldn't live in my hometown, which was in East London, because then flying backwards and forwards, it would just not be logistical. It would just cost too much for a job that you're not even guaranteed to get, you know. But now the modeling world has changed so much in that most of it is taking part on social media. If a potential client is interested in booking you, they will go and look at your social media, as opposed to contacting your modeling agency and looking through, you know, all of the profiles, all of the
zen. Oh, wow.
So in a sense, your social media account, your Instagram or whatever it was, that's what they saw. They wanted to see you, you know, in your daily life, what you look like, what your vibe is, per se, what your energy is, what your interests are, which they can get, you know, a lot more information off of your page, as opposed to just seeing your stills, which are just like basic photos or Polaroids from the agency. So in a sense, to be a model in this day and age, you needed to use your social media wisely. It was your brand. It was your business. And so a lot of the photos you would post would be, say, from your latest test shoots or from your jobs that you had booked. So essentially, clients would have a look through your profile and decide whether they wanted to book you or not from there.
They'd also like see what other brands you've associated yourself with, I'm guessing, you know?
Yes, yes. And those, the now termed content creators and influencers, that's essentially how they do their business.
Sure.
So it's a huge tool. Social media is a huge tool. And now, you know, all of the other industries are kind of keeping up with that. And so in order to market yourself correctly, you had to essentially advertise yourself and keep up with it. And when I was doing that, at the time I was still in my undergraduate, you know, I think I was in my third year, like I said. And you're not necessarily thinking of yourself as a professional psychologist one day. You are still just trying to get through your studies.
Yeah.
So I wasn't aware of, oh, what are these pictures maybe like insinuating about me?
Sure.
In another professional world, because right then and then, that's what I was, I suppose.
That's how you defined yourself at the time.
Yeah, yeah. And so then my honors year came around, and then I started kind of thinking, ooh, you know, a quick Google search and you're going to see these images. And not that they were necessarily risque images at all, but they wouldn't necessarily represent what I would want to represent of myself as a professional psychologist. And I think that this was even emphasized more during my psychometrics practicum, when I was seeing real life clients who have access to, you know, all of this information of me on the internet, on social media. And so then I kind of had to make the decision to veer away from modeling. I moved back home as well during my honors year, and I just had to essentially choose. And I know that sounds awful, but you had to kind of choose, well, am I going to focus more on the modeling side, or am I going to focus more on becoming a psychologist? And my interests were way more rooted and aligned with the psychology profession as opposed to modeling, definitely.
Sure. And that's exactly what we wanted to speak about today, was like the combination effect of social media and psychology students and how the two interact. And that's what Katie and I were speaking about earlier.
Yes.
Some of the good parts, but also some of the dangers, I guess, at the same time, mm-hmm. especially for psychology students.
Whether you are, you know, whatever profession you're in, you are building a brand for yourself on social media. Whether you are literally an undergrad student and you're doing promotions as your side hustle, whether you're blogging as your side hustle, that is your brand you're creating. And unfortunately, with whatever you are posting on the internet, like Kaylee said, it can't be reversed. It can't necessarily be deleted. And once that's out there, it's out there. And I think that that's something I had to be very aware of, is would my clients feel comfortable if the majority of the images they search for of me or of information of me is me in my modeling career. Is that necessarily something they'd want to see? Would that take away from my credibility as a professional? And like you did mention with Kaylee, it would be necessary to kind of set up those boundaries that differentiate you as your professional self and your, you know, your personal identity. So I think that that's definitely important. And I realize that probably a bit too late. So this podcast is coming at a good time.
Like I think we spoke about earlier, you mentioned that we don't necessarily have to limit what we're doing inside our personal lives. You know, it's just being aware of what you are putting out there on social media in terms of who might see it, you know, how it might be perceived. And the fact that it's there, once it's out there, it's there forever. So, you know, the permanence of this, of social media can be a scary thought when you aren't really aligned up with what's happening in psychology and the fact that you will be a professional in a couple of years' time, perhaps. And then all of a sudden look back and think, I should have really taken that into consideration, which is what we're trying to do here. It's more about raising awareness.
Yes, 100%. You're not here to criticize or anything along those routes. We're just here to say, be aware of it.
Sure.
Be aware and make sure there's not this kind of, I want to almost say, cognitive dissonance between between your professional life and your personal identity, or your professional identity and personal identity. I think also it's important to note that obviously psychologists, doctors, engineers, whatever field you're in, you have got a life outside of that work. And, you know, I think psychology is just a very sensitive field in that we can't necessarily advertise this life as freely and as openly as in other careers or in other professions.
There's a lot of ethics. One of the most ethical fields that I believe that there is. And I kind of just believe that it's about finding like balance and boundaries.
100%. So I had to recently create my own professional account and then change a few privacy settings on my personal accounts. Obviously, you know, quite a lot of my modeling images are still available on my private accounts. I don't regret that time in my life at all. It shaped me, like I did mention. And, you know, that adds to who I am today. So if I am ever asked about it, you know, I have no qualms about it.
I'm with you 100%. And I like that you mentioned that the universities asked you about it as well, because naturally they're going to ask about anything that shaped us into who we are.
Yes. Yes. It was a big life experience.
Yeah. You're going to go for your master's interviews and it's obviously something that you did and was important to you. And they're going to probably question it. So I think if there's anyone that's out there that is studying psych at the moment to also think about it from that perspective, like when I'm asked this question, do I have an answer for it? Or like, no, I just, you know, I was making money off being an influencer. So really think much about it. You know, I think they want, they want you to like, you know, sit and self-reflect on everything that you've gone through and find meaning in everything you've gone through. So I like that.
Yes.
You also said you'd found out a little bit late, you know, that you'd start to realize a little bit late. Can you like expand on that? You wish that you'd done the self-reflection earlier in terms of psych?
Not necessarily too late, but I think I should have been viewing myself in a professional light earlier than I did, because I think that would have made me more sensitive to the context of where I'm perhaps posting images of what I'm associating myself with on social media. It can be simple things. I mean, you also have to be careful of what you comment on, what you engage on social media. That's a big one.
Very, very, very true.
You have to be careful about what you're sharing. Is it credited? You know, we are essentially academics, and I think that has to reflect in your personal profile. We don't know if the selection panel does check out our social media, which probably they should before we're invited for interviews, because I feel like that's going to be the realest kind of representation of who you are aside from your application.
I definitely think that they must check it out, at least at face value, just to see what's going on. I mean, yes, we do have private accounts and stuff like that, but like Kaylee said, the universities probably have the best hackers as well. You know, they'll find out what they
probably
need.
Probably, yeah. And everything's there. Everything they need is there. Your likes, your dislikes, your groups, your hobbies, your social life. Everything's quite eagerly displayed on the majority of people's social media accounts.
Taking it back a little bit as well, when we spoke about the universities, you know, having a look at our profiles and stuff, they also want to see that by choosing you for their master's program, that you align with what they like stand for. And say, for example, you have you're part of like extremist groups on Facebook or something like that, the university might not particularly want that mm-hmm. associated with them. Or, you know, you've got very like left or right wing political views, you know, and you're mm-hmm. sharing.
Or you're very outspoken, yeah.
Just somebody that shares a lot of pseudoscience, mm-hmm. which is something that's happening at the moment with COVID, you know.
And fake news, my goodness, yes.
So I think they could potentially look into that and try and see, you know, a little bit more about your views and the way that you fact check things, you know,
is because you're representing sharing. The university at the end of the day. You're going to exactly. represent them, and they want, you know, a good representative that, like you said, does line up with their morals and their values and all of that.
Yeah, and when you graduate, you become a representative of that university. So you've said now that you've created yourself a personal account, but you've also got a professional account as well.
Yes, I do. I didn't want to further blur the boundaries, and it is just, I suppose, the ethical thing to do. Mm. And that's why I did that. Yeah.
Sure. Because you've also just registered, obviously, as a psychometrist, but yes. you're applying at the moment for masters as well.
Yes. Yes, I am. Oof, it's quite a journey.
Don't worry.
It's quite a journey.
It is indeed a journey. Nina and I speak behind the scenes almost every day about our applications. And yes, the journey is real.
The strangest psychology friendship has formed between Dylan and I, but still grateful for it. It's wonderful to have someone in the trenches with you.
I think so. I think that we could take solace in the fact that like there's other people going through this as well. And just when you feel like, this is just too insane. Like these applications are getting too much. There's like somebody next to you. Like, I feel you, man. I feel you.
We can vent together. And it's so interesting that we all come from such different backgrounds. Mm. And this was my background, and it was just wonderful that you were doing a talk on social media, and then you thought, oh, let's get her in. Let's get her to chat about her personal experience, because I had to reach, you know, that crossroads where I essentially had to choose. Is this the image I want to portray on social media? Is this going to jeopardize, you know, my future plans one day? And I kind of realized, yeah, the cons were outweighing the pros at that point, and I just kind of had to alter my image. Not that it was ever extremely suggestive or extremist, you know, it was nothing like that. But a simple photo like of you in a bikini, for example, to the girls I'm talking to you, of you in a bikini, it can be interpreted the wrong way by whoever sees that. And who is going to see it? Are your professors going to see it? Are your clients going to see it one day? Are your in-laws going to see it one day? Mm. And what does that image say about you? What does it portray about you? And I mean, like we said, it's not saying you cannot have a life outside of your work life. No one's saying you can't go to the beach and be in a bikini. But if that's the image you want to post, just be aware that there are going to be some consequences about it. And you wouldn't want to further exacerbate the issue.
Yeah, I don't look great in a two-piece, but...
We can get you a tri-suit.
I've kept that off of social media, you know.
Oh, thanks, Dylan. Save my eyes.
That's more for you guys than it is for my own well-being.
Oh, no.
We're very appreciative that you're willing to open up about your experience in this. And I think, like I said earlier, it's about creating awareness. And I don't think there's a point where it is too late. You know, I don't think that there comes a time when you're like, oh, I can't be a psychologist now because of my social media. I think it's just about putting your mindset in a space where you can think about perspective, mm-hmm. Which is something we do in psychology all the time. Like, it's our job to see perspective. So mm-hmm. if you're listening to this, it means you're already more woke than you know, the person not listening to it, because you're starting to think more about these sort of things. So mm-hmm.
it's necessary.
Yeah, I think it's very important. So yeah, thanks for chatting to us, Nina, and giving us your experience.
Thanks for having me, Dylan. Anytime. I'm excited to see where this venture goes for you, and best of luck for your master's applications. Hopefully we can interview somewhere together if the universities are listening.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Anyone listening that wants to find a little bit more about Nina and follow her professional psych page, you can go to @nina.psych. on Instagram, and like she said, she'll start to build up more social media presence as she becomes more qualified in the field, I'm guessing, huh?
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dylan.
That's all we have time for today. I hope that we've inspired you to think about your social media presence and make the necessary adjustments if needed. You'll find links to both Nina and Kaylee's pages in the description below, as well as a link to the article we spoke about earlier. Until next time, stay safe.